At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning. Happy New Year. Hey, Happy New Year to you. Doug Gottlieb, Dan Beyer, Jason Stewart.
Happy New Year, Doug.
All in the house on a New Year's Day where it's really interesting, right? Tonight should be an awesome doubleheader of college football. I don't know. I mean, I think we have as close to the four best teams as possible. There's lots of discussions we need to have about the debacle that has been the bowl season thus far and whether or not next year it will fix it or make it worse. I'm not sure. But there's so much stuff to get to. Like, Dan, as you and I were texting, and I was texting and talking with Jason Stewart, our esteemed producer, we went to bed and Jay Stu sends all these different notes and things. And it's like, hey, like Lamar Jackson's the MVP. Like, that's great. We could talk about it. But honestly, like we went through it, Dan, where you have, I mean, again, I don't know if we even have time in a 3-hour show to get to basketball. You had a big trade in the NBA between the Raptors and the Knicks, which feels like a precursor possibly to another Knicks trade. You had the LeBron, was it 3, was it 2? You have Oklahoma City, by the way, going into Denver over this long weekend and just hammering the Nuggets, kind of nuclear loose style, announcing their presence with authority, like, are we missing Oklahoma City in this? Could they come out of the West sort of thing? There's actually some good NBA discussion, but like, who's got time? Then you have these joke of bowl games. I don't even know if we get into whatever that was between Georgia and Florida State's backups to their backups. You got tonight's games. And then you have this entirety of a weekend where we had Monday Night Football on Saturday night. That's super confusing. I got to tell you, it's always confusing when they do that. It's really confusing on a holiday weekend when you don't really know what day is what. Anybody else? It's one thing to, I've seen that they've done that before with the Monday Night Football on Saturday, right? I think they did it last year. But when it's a holiday weekend, I legit have no idea what day of the week it was. I'm watching the game and I turned to my son. And I was like, wait, is it Monday? He's like, no, I don't. What day is it? I don't know. But it says Monday Night Football right there. And then it actually took us both going to our phones going, no, it's Saturday. Oh, yeah, that's right. Saturday is Monday Night Football. Anyway, but we have the end of that game, which because of the outcome where the Cowboys win 20-19 on what feels like a completely blown call by the officials. It changes Sunday because now the Eagles lose. So the Cowboys, all they got to do is beat the Commanders and they win the NFC East. Oh, yeah, by the way, the San Francisco 49ers, because the Eagles collapsed yet again yesterday, this one to the Arizona Cardinals. The Niners, like their dudes got like 3 weeks off. Right? Trent Williams was the happiest dude ever. He's like, man, I've been all banged up. Now don't have to play week 18. Don't have to, I mean, we got to bye. And the team that thought they were the best team last year, if not for injury, now will be the healthiest team heading into the playoffs. And then we got all kinds of other stuff. So I guess, Dan, here's my question to you. What do you want to start?
I think that there's you have to start in the NFC with what transpired, because it's a combination. Cowboys are now on the verge of winning the division. You mentioned the 49ers wrapping things up. But the most unexpected result that I think that we got on Sunday was that Arizona went to Philadelphia, dominated the Eagles, and then, even in a situation, Doug, where Philadelphia grabs a lead late, that defense cannot keep Arizona out of the end zone, essentially knocking the Eagles out of a, as you mentioned, a race for the number one overall seed. The NFC East crown right now, their destiny is not in their own hands, if you will. And to just look at where this team is over the last, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, Super Bowl hangover must have come late. We know that they were playing with fire early this season, but I think we got to start in Philadelphia.
Okay. So, and then honestly, and I understand it's sports radio, and I understand, like, let's not bury the lead. The lead is the Philadelphia Eagles. But can we, for a second, just take a peek at the Cardinals, who, oh yeah, by the way, have you seen some of the wins they had this year? They haven't won a game in the NFC West. But look at some of those wins.
Yet. They have the Seahawks next week.
Okay. But they beat the Cowboys. They go into, and I know the Cowboys didn't play other dudes, they go into Philadelphia and win. Oh, yeah, by the way, we all operate on the assumption that shouldn't they lose these games to get a top pick so then they can trade Kyler Murray or cut Kyler Murray? And then Kyler Murray balls out. And oh, yeah, by the way, Gannon, their head coach, one, he's the guy who Eagles fans think blew the Super Bowl because, you know, the Chiefs ran the same play two different times to win the game and could not have been. Nick Sirianni's press conference was incredibly impressive when he was announced as coach in comparison to Jonathan Gannon, who looked just like a complete clown, and they're really well coached. But let's not get into the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go to the Eagles, where, you know, they lose their coordinators. They've lost some pieces. The defense isn't great. But also, like, Jalen Hurts. And we've said, well, is he healthy? And if he's not healthy, why are they running him so much? I don't even, where do you start with the, they go 0 for December? Is that right? Do they go 0 for December?
Since that win against the Chiefs that they had on that Monday night game where Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropped the pass, which, by the way, was a common theme, unfortunately, for the Chiefs again in Week 17, even though they got the win. But I believe they're 2-4 in that stretch. So since that win against Kansas City, where we thought, okay, this is maybe the one that rights the ship, because they were playing with fire.
Yeah,
for,
I mean, they should have lost the Commanders early in the year. There's a bunch of other games. I mean, the Bills had them dead to rights, too.
Yeah.
So I actually don't think it's that it's not that surprising. It is surprising that the Cardinals beating them and their inability to get off the field, get the Cardinals off the field, and the Cardinals coming from behind, that at home, that just,
they went through this gauntlet, Doug, of the Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, and Cowboys, and they ended up in a scenario where they went 3-2. So they split with the Cowboys. Obviously, we mentioned the Chiefs win. You mentioned the Bills and then getting destroyed by the Niners. That was supposed to be, all right, they made it through. Because you had the Monday night game against Seattle, which we all saw Drew Locke go 92 yards and take care of them. Even what they did last week on Christmas Day in having Tyrod Taylor come in for the Giants in place of Tommy DeVito and making that a competitive game. And the Cardinals, you're right, the Cardinals have always been competitive all season long. But there's just something wrong. They were outgained 2-1, time of possession 2-1. And even in the end where you think, okay, this is where they can do their Houdini act, all you have to do, defense, is just get a stop on the last possession and the Eagles will win the game and all is good. What ends up happening? 7 plays, 70 yards, 2 minutes, touchdown Arizona. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so where does that stack up? So before we get to the Cowboys game and how it relates to it, what's the takeaway? They've changed defensive coordinators or play callers, whatever. I love that they have a defense. You're still a defense coordinator. You're just not going to call the defenses. Lakers hit. What? That's the. It's the. He's the Dwight Schrute, right?
Schrute. What? Who's
Dwight
the
Schrute?
Yeah.
Right? Dwight Schrute. He's the
assistant to the general manager.
Yeah, assistant to the regional manager or something like that. Yeah, that's what it. But you know, Matt Patricia, Matt Patricia, who thinks he knows everything, comes in and turns out that he can't fix. It's players, not plays. Then there's Nick Sirianni, who you know he walked around with his chest out, like he was what's the name, McMahon from WWE, all last year and early this year. You know, talking ish to everybody.
Even after that Chiefs game, Doug, there was that video of him walking off the field. And I don't think anybody in their right mind felt that Philadelphia got revenge on the Chiefs because they won a regular season game compared to Super Bowl 57. But he walks off the field and he's, you know, yelling at the Chiefs fans in the tunnel, giving you a Ric Flair, you know, woo. And like it's all a mess. Jalen Hurts has been the adult in that room with that team ever since he stepped on the field for them. And since Nick Sirianni took over, it's been evident. I do think that there's an issue. There's nobody that's going to say that they have the worst roster in the National Football League. What people are going to say is, no, the Eagles have the best roster in the National Football League. You can say whatever you want. You know, maybe some people like Jalen Hurts, some people don't like his style. It works for them, but for some reason, their defense can't get off the field right now. And for some reason, A.J. Brown is still pouting. A.J. Brown didn't talk to the media yesterday. I don't think because they lost. I think it was because he only had five targets because they didn't have the football. And that's a theme because remember he was pouting against after the Giants game last year where they destroyed the Giants in the playoffs and he wasn't happy that he got his targets. Yep. It's just to me, it's just a mess in Philadelphia right now. Opens things up for the NFC. And obviously now it just gives the Cowboys this path that I don't think that we thought was really available. I mean, the Eagles just had to go Giants, Cardinals, Giants to wrap up the NFC East, and they couldn't even do that.
Okay, so with that in mind, what about the ramifications of one call, which is pretty clearly a blown call. Like, I understand. I think we all and Dan, if you dispute this, I'm more than willing to listen to it. But by now, we've had 2 days of information. Where, you know, the Lions were trying to kind of do the bait and switch, right? Send three guys at the official, but only one was making himself eligible. But the key to it is, one, there's pretty good video evidence of who was pointing that he was eligible. And two, that they have a meeting 90 minutes before the game, Dan Campbell told him this is what we're going to do, right? Everybody was like, this is what we're going to do in this situation. That's how it works in these trick plays. You run it by him. And by the way, like, this does actually work in all sports. You tell people in basketball all the time, you know how sometimes you can get called for a flagrant or back in the day, an intentional foul when you're intentionally trying to foul at the end of a game. The easiest way to make sure that doesn't happen is before the play, you tell the official, hey, we're trying to foul, we're going for the ball. And then they call it really quickly. That's the way it works. In the NFL, when you're going to run a trick play, you tell the officials beforehand, hey, just keep an eye out. We're going to do this in terms of formationally. It happened back when the Patriots beat the Ravens in the playoffs. If you remember, that was the game before the Deflategate game where, you know, the Patriots inform the officials, hey, we're going to do this different kind of alignment. And it is legal if you watch for it, right? That's part of it. So is there any dispute that they pretty obviously missed this call?
No, there's, I don't think that there's any argument for it.
Okay. So with that in mind, like all the the Lions could be playing for home field. The Cowboys now, as the beneficiary of it, are probably going to win their division, you know? And, oh yeah, by the way, all that, the Niners, and again, it doesn't mean that the Eagles would have won or whatever. I don't think it has any effect, but all of this stuff, now the Cowboys still can't catch the Niners, but because the Eagles lost, now the Niners have 2 weeks off, all because of really one play. And I guess the question is this: if it's not in dispute, okay, can you do the Little League, hey, we want to form a, file a protest? And does anybody have a protest story that went in their favor in Little League Baseball?
No.
Right? No. Listen, this game is protest under protest.
Period. I've never seen a game under protest in my memory actually work out.
This game is under protest. That's an all-timer, right? You'd step on third base and you appeal to the other umpire if there was another umpire. That's the first thing. The second thing is, hey, this game is under protest. No one ever checked up like, hey, whatever happened to that game under protest? Remember third week of the season? Could you change the outcome under protest? And then the other part to that is, and I'm interested in your opinion because I asked a couple of coaches and football people and basketball people their opinion. One thing lost in the Cowboys win over the Lions is the Lions get penalized. It goes back to the 7. Then the Cowboys get penalized. It goes back to the 2. But at any of this point in time, like Dan Campbell could be like, let's just kick the extra point and let's go play in overtime. And didn't do it. I guess he was fully committed, but did you have to be fully committed?
No, I don't think that he had to, especially on the first one where you're 7 yards back. I mean, it's just difficult to score from 7 yards out. And in a one-play scenario, it's not ideal. So
Brandon Staley is the only human being that thought, that's a good idea. We should do that.
I love what Campbell's doing. On the offsides call, which I believe was then half the distance, or the penalty that was on Dallas, still in that scenario, I mean, I guess I know that there could be an argument made that the Lions are the road team. Let's go for the win. That could be, looked at it as well, injury wise, and just trying to, get out of Dodge and not playing overtime. Another thing that Lions fans will point to. I just look at it. The whole scenario of this is, this isn't Sean Payton being mad over a pass interference call. This isn't the Eagles being mad over a holding call in a Super Bowl. This is an official not implementing the rules and how they're supposed to be implemented. Like, you can't even carry out the rules the right way. And the only time that I remembered something like this happening, Doug, involved the Lions 25 years ago. Jerome Bettis, coin toss. Referee doesn't hear it, sticks to his guns, doesn't hear tails. Says no, he said heads, tails, or whatever Phil Luckett was saying. That's the only time that I can remember where like this sort of miscommunication resulted in such a crazy, wacky ending. Because I do think that there are similarities, but this isn't missing a call. This is not carrying out your duties in doing what you're supposed to be doing as a ref and implementing the actual rules.
Yes, this is not a judgment call is what you're getting to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a judgment call, right? Because you get people going back and going like, look, this is a hold. Look, this is a trip. This is a Schefter point out some missed tripping call on Hutchinson that was called on the offensive line. Like, what are you doing, Adam? I mean, you're insulting everybody's intelligence. So, no, hey, look, there's a missed call here. I'm sure you can go the whole game. There's a bunch of missed calls. This is an administrative penalty. It's an administrative cut. It's cut and dry. And it's like, wait, what do we? And it's one of those things, like, I'm all for human error in sports. Like, I understand if we turn officials into robots, but this one's not that hard. It's not that. It's one of those things where there is a lot going on, by the way. A lot going on. But it's your job. I mean, you can hold up the game. It's your job. And you can hold up the game, by the way.
By the way, in that scenario, that was the only thing that was going on. Like, he was the only one standing there, and there's two Lions in front of him and another one kind of running over. That's the only thing that you're dealing with at that time. And then he starts just walking over to tell. And by the way, I don't think that the Lions in the huddle, as they're calling the play, should be listening to Brad Allen.
No.
Announced that 70 was the eligible receiver. But, by the way, in Brad Allen, people don't realize this. They've been saying it for the last couple of days. I think the R is silent. So I think it's just Bad Allen. I think that's how you pronounce his name. That's the R is silent in Brad Allen. There it is. Joke number one of 2024.
You know, for people who don't know, Dan Beyer is a dad.
Okay, R is silent.
So he's allowed to make dad jokes, and that was a
good one.
Sort of good rim shot, dad joke. Dad joke. Yeah, I guess, sort of. Doug Gottlieb, Dan Beyer, in for Dan and the Danettes. This is Dan Patrick Show. Happy New Year. If you're listening to us, unless you're listening to us, you know, in the drunk tank, you survived the night, right? And you're here for 24, right? So that means you probably stayed off the roads. You probably stayed in. It is a dear friend of mine is like, yeah, two holidays I just can't get down on is Valentine's Day and New Year's. That's a pretty good one, right? I congratulate, but there is something to kind of the newness of it, rebirth of it, starting anew. Boy, I wish Bobby Bad Allen probably wishes we could start anew, don't you think? I mean, I think that's probably pretty accurate. Charles Robinson's going to join us upcoming next. We'll get his thoughts on the officiating debacle, on what's wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, oh, yeah, by the way, how is it possible that the Kansas City Chiefs don't seem to have wide receivers that can, I know this is, catch a football. Well, Dan Beyer, I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Podcast.
Hey, what up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's Dan Beyer. Jay Stu is off the IRDL, whatever, and he's back producing. We got my man Chris Perfett on the ones and twos. Happy New Year to you. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling's all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS. I'm sure. Here's the good thing. I don't have to say, hey, be safe on New Year's. You know, avoid all the nonsense, whatever. Because if you're listening to the show, if you're on the West Coast, you know, hopefully you're up and you're going to work, you're out and about, as they say. Or if you're on the East Coast, you've made it. We're here, 2024. I will point this out about all the great feelings and thoughts of the new year and how fresh it feels, Dan. I should point out it's an election year, which means it's going to be a complete poop show from about, I don't know what, September until November, and then, as we saw last time, maybe even through January. So good news is we got about 6-7 months to really enjoy it. And 2024, we are here. Man, we haven't talked about the Broncos and the quarterback change and Russell Wilson. I don't know, we don't have time really to talk about the NBA. Let's pocket Bowl talk for about 15 minutes. We got to get ready for tonight's doubleheader. Of course, the Rose Bowl, which was really destroyed by conference realignment because there's no more Pac-10 or Pac-12, so there can be no more Pac-10. But they could have had. I would have still done the Pac-12, Big Ten one last time. But instead, we have Michigan, Alabama, and then we have Washington, which I think we are. People are dying off with the whole Washington idea. Remember people say Washington for a long time?
Yeah, I don't hear much anymore.
It's gone away, thankfully. But we have Washington or Washington taking on Texas in the nightcap. But can we take a second and go, hey, was Football America wrong, Dan Beyer, about Jordan Love? Is he a dude?
Sure looked like it the last couple of weeks. Just picking apart the Vikings. The Vikings... I have no idea what was happening with their quarterback position. I thought maybe they thought Jaren Hall was their quarterback of the future. That lasted about a half. And Jordan Love looked magnificent last night. And it's so funny because the Packers are basically in the same situation that they were a year ago entering week 17. So now it's Jordan Love's opportunity to maybe right or wrong that Aaron Rodgers couldn't do last year when the Packers couldn't beat the Lions. Packers just have to beat the Bears at home, which is now easier said than done, considering how well Chicago's playing.
And then you take into next year, right, where they have a bevy of draft picks, Aaron Rodgers' money comes off their books, and Jordan Love's playing for, what, $8 million next year? I mean, obviously their thoughts are, I can imagine if we make the playoffs, but think about what they're setting themselves potentially up for. And David Bakhtiari's money probably comes off next year as well. It feels like he won't play football anymore, unfortunately, because of that knee. But it's crazy the position that the Packers appear to be in.
And by the way, their defense completely in shambles. May not have been shown last night, but Packer Nation has been wanting Joe Barry to be gone.
Yes.
For a long, long time. And so doing this without a defense that I think that they relied on or wanted to rely on earlier and haven't been able to do it, this young receiving corps stepping up. But yeah, Jordan Love just may actually be that guy.
It's insane. What did you think about the Broncos? What was your, I know you had your show yesterday. What did you think about the Broncos deal?
There's a lot there. I thought that Sean Payton got a lot of heat, Doug, but Jared Stidham wasn't much different than Russell Wilson yesterday. And so the whole, we're trying to win number eight and he's the guy that we need, I think that's all baloney.
Of course. They were out of the playoffs, they want to be out of the Russell Wilson business. And I can tell you what I've been told by some people in Denver, that Sean, he's frustrated that Russell doesn't process nearly as fast as one would think based upon his experience and his, normal level of intelligence. I mean, he seems like a super bright guy, but he doesn't He doesn't think he processes well. He doesn't see the middle of the field. And, you know, as much as we like to compare Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, the only thing that's comparable is their size. The style of play is very different. And a guy who, you know, made his living out of the pocket with a great and accurate arm and also a very good athlete. He's not as athletic and his arm isn't as good. And he doesn't really run the offense the way in which Sean Payton wants to run it. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's checking out a place that Sean Payton wants run. So I think if we track back to when Sean Payton originally turned down the job, right? I mean, he obviously wanted the Chargers job. I mean, that was pretty obvious. It doesn't get that spread in the media. Oh, he could be, unless Sean Payton wanted that job. When he didn't get it, and the reason he wanted it was he liked the quarterback better than he liked the quarterback in Denver. And remember, there was a while they could not hire a coach. How many people turned the Broncos down? Three or four guys turned the Broncos down. And we could say it was about ownership, whatever. It feels like it was about Russell Wilson. And I'm sure he only took that job with the, hey, listen, I'm going to take this job. But if I want to get rid of Russell Wilson, it doesn't work. I want autonomy. I want to be able to do that. And once they're out of the playoffs, that's what he did. And I think that it's going to be fascinating because everyone thinks, well, the Steelers, who, by the way, we haven't even talked about the Steelers, right? Mason Rudolph, just solid quarterback play. Suddenly they look like a playoff team. They're above 500 yet again. We know that Mike Tomlin record. But everyone thinks, you know, these Atlanta and the Steelers, and they're going to go after Russell Wilson. But how many teams have acquired a quarterback on his third team who his previous team or two thought he was kind of washed? How often does that actually work out? You know, how often does that work out? Go ahead, Jay Stu.
What did you make of how everything played out last week, though, with Russ? Like, for the first time in quite some time, Russell Wilson was a sympathetic figure in how that whole thing played out. And that was, by the way, by design, very well orchestrated. As soon as the Broncos said that Russell Wilson wasn't going to start, the PR campaign from his camp started, and I think it worked. Because for a while there, we're thinking, man, the Broncos are a bunch of jerks. Like, who interferes with a season like this by going to him with his contract demand? And where did you come out on that? Who won the week?
Well, I mean, I've just been led to believe by people in the NFL that, kind of like you said, everything is inauthentic with Russell Wilson. That it's a lot like Sean Payton said. He likes to kiss babies. He's a senatorial candidate. And I think that Sean Payton wants to win football games. And if he thought that Russell Wilson could win him football games, he'd still be the quarterback. Find a way to work it out. You know? Find a way to work it out. And I understand. And to people who are like, well, the NFLPA needs to get involved. What are you talking about? This is a negotiated clause in a contract. I mean, and if you can find a way around the clause, you find a way around the clause. And by the way, if Russell Wilson is really at the level that the PR campaign would lead you to believe, that money's out there, right? He'll get his, what is it, $39 million? He'll get cut, and then he'll get a new contract. If he gets a new contract in the $20 million, $30 million a year variety, which is, you know, below that of the top guys are making 50, well, then somebody's going to bet that the Broncos were wrong. The likelihood is that he doesn't get a big contract, and then he's got to do a prove-it contract, and those usually don't do well either. So where I came out as Russ being Russ. And people are like, man, this is just so gut-wrenching to hear Russell Wilson. Like, dude, stop. This has been Russell Wilson his whole career. He's an amazing politician. An amazing politician. But the guys that know, like, again, those Seahawks dudes, those are real guys. Those are real dudes. And they've always rolled their eyes at Russ. So I this is, to me, it's just Russ being Russ, Dan. I don't.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when this news kind of came out on Wednesday, because it wasn't official until later in the afternoon, but was, building up with the reports, it just kind of dawned on me that it felt like Sean Payton was hired to do this to Russell Wilson. That he was the one, because there are very few coaches that can do what Sean Payton did. And I'm not talking about berate him on the sidelines. I'm just talking about benching him, period, and doing it this soon into the contract. And, you know, Doug, considering how long this has been going on, it lends to the fact that I think that that's why one of the reasons why the Broncos hired him even more so is this has been going on for 2 months now, this back and forth. And now for Peyton to finally pull the trigger. And again, Jared Stidham was no different than Russell Wilson was, maybe a little bit worse than Russell Wilson was in yesterday's win. But I just think in the end, like, when you look at the Peyton hiring, he wanted to go to the Chargers. That didn't happen. Right. Cowboys, we've always connected. That didn't happen. Wasn't going to happen. So there's Denver. And Denver's probably like, you know what? We've got this albatross of a contract with a quarterback that now hasn't played well in two consecutive seasons. What are we going to do about this? Sean Payton's the only guy that can do that.
Yeah, and I don't think he would have taken the job unless he had it like, hey, man, if I want to get rid of Russell Wilson, I'm going to get rid of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're 100%.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't think that's right or that's fair, listen, I've said this on our show, on my show, as you know, Dan, you're part of it. Okay, I've said it on other shows. This is a lot like the coaching hiring and the quarterback. Do I think that other factors, whether it's race or other things, have come into play in the past and hiring of coaches and quarterbacks? You want to go back 30, 40 years? Sure. Can't deny that. But as Sean Payton said, this is what every person in the NFL I've ever talked to is like. The only thing that matters is if we can win. Right? That's the beauty to professional football, is literally the only thing that matters. Grades don't matter. Mom and dad doesn't matter. Feelings don't matter. Nothing matters. Can we win football game? Because if we win, everybody gets to get paid. And everybody, no one has to move their family again. You know, so if you think a decision was made based upon, well, he doesn't like him. He may not like him. If he thought he could win football games with him, he'd still be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
And Russ has been taking so much heat, Doug, for however long, this turnaround that the Broncos had midseason. I think it was maybe more about their defense than it was their offense. And so then all of a sudden now, there seems to be this groundswell of support for Russell Wilson because they don't like how Sean Payton handled it or the Broncos handled it. But it's also like, well, why would they want to be on the hook for an extra $40 million if they don't have to? The writing's on the wall. Like, all of that makes sense. And, well, it was handled poorly. Well, Russell's a big boy. You know, yeah, we're all adults here, right? He can handle it.
Listen, if you don't like an injury clause in a contract, don't put an injury clause in a contract. Remember, Russell Wilson, his whole deal was, the reason Seattle was ready to move on was he wanted a big new contract. They didn't want to give it to him. Right? They didn't want to give it to him. And Denver took him because the quarterback they wanted, Aaron Rodgers, agreed to a new deal in Green Bay and stayed there for another year. So they had Nathaniel Hackett, and they're like, this will work. It was a disaster. A disaster. And sure, Hackett looked completely overwhelmed as head coach, but so did Russell Wilson as a player. But if you don't like the, like, don't be complaining about the contract after the contract, the ink has been dry for a year and a half. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
And to people who are like, what is the NFLPA? The NFLPA has done a magnificent job in their PR of making it seem like the owners are the big bad wolf. Right? Like, when they save, if they save this money, somehow they're going to put it in their pockets. That team is owned by Walmart money. Do you think they care for 1 second about saving? No. What they care about is all that money and how it affects their cap. That's what they care about. If a GM saves some money, that money doesn't go in the GM's pocket. It goes back into the pool. So they go and get a better team. Right? Because when you get a better team, then you win more games. You win more games. You get a new contract. You get to stay gainfully employed. And you don't have to go find a new house for your wife, a new town, a new school for your kids. It's pretty obvious stuff here. Like, we're massively making about something that it's not. So does he love Russell Wilson? Like, no. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that's the second or third head coach that probably rolls their eyes at the whole Russell Wilson thing. You know, it just is. But, again, I think this is purely performance-based. Is the contract an albatross, as you said? Absolutely. But we have this thing where we think, you know, the NFLPA has done a great job, that the owners – Well, they don't have guaranteed contracts. Yes, they do. There are absolutely guaranteed contracts. They may not be fully guaranteed. Why would you fully guarantee a contract? How's that working out for Deshaun Watson? You know? I mean, even Kirk Cousins, who's had a magnificent statistical run in Minnesota, like, dude's out with an Achilles tendon tear. He's got fully guaranteed contract. Like, these things, it's not a sport where you want a fully guaranteed contract for more than 2 years. It's just not. Guys fall off. Guys get hurt. Things change. Systems change. Whatever. But people really believe in the world that when owners or GMs, you know, cut a guy or save money they put in their pocket, it's not true. They believe they don't have guaranteed contracts. It's also not true. It's just in terms of the length and the years and the money. You know, and we had this with running backs to start the year. Like, oh, man, these running backs are just like, okay, so tell me the highly paid running back who's lived up to their contract. Maybe Christian McCaffrey is the guy. And even Christian McCaffrey's missed time. And as we pointed out, like, the Carolina contract was awful. He didn't get hurt the first 3 years, signs an extension, couldn't stay healthy. And he's the best running back in the NFL. He's the outlier. You know, Derrick Henry feels like he's over the hill. Right? Can't play that way anymore. And then pick out all these other guys that have big contracts. I mean, Indy was like, we're not giving our running back a new contract. They give the running back a new contract. He can't even get on the field and stay healthy. What are we doing? We have this, I continue to believe that our American society, we have a massive issue with anyone who we feel like is an authority. We feel like there's something nefarious at work. Hey, somebody's got to be in charge. And there's got to be some sort of rules to this thing. And if Russell Wilson didn't like the contract, he shouldn't have signed the contract. But he did. Dan Byer, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. Coming up next on the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bowl season has been, to say a mess, it's like walking into your child's room and there's stuff everywhere and going, it's a little messy. But could tonight save it? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. you know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
That's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Danettes. Coming, let's welcome in Kerry Rhodes. He's a former defensive back with the Jets and the Cardinals. He's our Fox Sports Radio NFL commentator and contributor. And Kerry, man, there's so much to get to. Let's actually start with the Eagles. Is that defense fixable this season?
Nope. They're done. I saw the cracks in there. In their armor throughout the season, and you know, I thought coming into the season they'd have more of a Super Bowl hangover, and it was kind of lingering. They were getting through wins. They were, you know, kind of willing their way to some wins there that they shouldn't have had during the season. But it's caught up to them. You're hearing rumblings out of Philly now about you know changing coordinators and letting some people call certain series during the game. It's just a little dysfunctional, so I don't really think at this point there's too much saving there.
Is it a coordinator problem or a Nick Sirianni problem with the Eagles?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think Nick Sirianni is, he's had some success, super confident guy, a guy that shows his emotion, whether warranted or unwarranted, during the games. And sometimes I think he gets lost in that and, you know, it's hard once you lose a defensive coordinator that goes to Arizona and Jonathan Gannon, who had them playing well and playing a certain way. Then you change that up, and, you know, it's hard sometimes. And especially if you don't have a solid plan A to get it done, then you start bringing in B and C, and it starts to breed confusion.
Okay. What about the Niners? Is there anyone, if they're rested – and they're healthy. They're going to be rested and healthy, right? They don't have to play this week, and they get next week off. And everybody has got to come to San Francisco. Not that there's no weather advantage there. I mean, they got great fans, but it's not like it's a place with a great home field advantage. But they got dudes. What's the likelihood anybody beats them in the NFC?
Very, very likely. Very likely. And I turn it on.
Very likely?
Very likely. They're the best team. 100%. But the thing with football, Doug, you know, you don't have to be the best team all the time.
I understand.
You're playing that one game. Somebody gets hot, you can beat them. Dallas, Detroit, even the Rams. There are teams in that division that, if all things are clicking, they have a shot. Now, San Francisco is the favorite, and that's no question about that. But football is very tricky. I mean, right now you look at it, you think it's San Fran and Baltimore, right? But it's hard to tell. And sometimes rest versus rust isn't always a solution either.
Speaking of Baltimore, can we put an end to the MVP? Is it now Lamar Jackson's? is this over with? You and I had the discussion last week. I feel like we had talked about it about a month ago as well, but done deal after yesterday?
Oh, it's a done deal. Now everybody, he's had a chance to do it 2 weeks in a row against, you know, two of the top teams in the league, supposedly, right? And so, people have numbers, and I know the numbers debate has been out there, and that's all fine and dandy. But if you watch the games, you know he's the MVP, and I watch him all the time. Obviously, that's the team that I don't root for, but I root for him because of our connections. And watching those games and seeing how dominant they are, and knowing that some of those short touchdown runs that Gus Edwards had, or, you know, people talk about him not having all the touchdown passes. If they wanted to get him those touchdown passes, it could have been done. And so this is more about the eye test, and I guess the numbers will be a little low, but, yeah, he's the guy.
Okay, help us out. You've Kerry Rhodes joining us here on the Dan Patrick Show with Dan Byram, Doug Gottlieb. This is Fox Sports Radio. Help us out with the Detroit two-point conversion play.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, look, all we can do, I mean, Dan played, I played football growing up. Dan played high school football. Like, but and we love it and study it, but all we can really do is tell you as viewers what this is like, right? So it looked like Detroit went in there, threw a couple guys out there, so you don't know who's tackle eligible. And but if you watch the tape, 68 was the guy who declared. 70 comes running in. Sewell was there, probably, you know, a little bait and switch. But apparently, you know, the coaching staff, Dan Campbell had met with some of the officials before the game. Was like, hey, this is what we're going to do. What's the reality to it from a defensive player? You've been in this situation. What's the reality to what actually happened?
Well, the functionality of it from a defensive standpoint, right, there's if, yes, they have to report. And even as a defender, you get to see that person report. So they're going to come in. They're going to wait. They're going to raise their hand. And they're going to report. They're going to tell the officials that they're eligible. So from a defensive standpoint, it doesn't really matter about that part of it because the functionality is the functionality. You can't really avoid that. So as a defender, it's still you have to keep your eyes on your own luggage. And a lot of times when you see those big guy numbers, you're just not giving them any credit to do anything out there that's going to hurt you immediately. And so when it comes to defense, it's just about keeping your eyes on your prize, man. I mean, you see the last man on line of scrimmage, the receiver, if he's off the ball, that means the guy, the end down the line of scrimmage is eligible. And so it's not even that tricky. It doesn't matter if they even do an unbalanced line, right, where it's only two guys on that side. If that last guy on that two-man side is on the line, he's an eligible guy if that receiver is off the line. So it's just about paying attention to the details and what the formation gives you because it's always going to give you something. So still a blown coverage on Dallas' side. So, you know, yeah, defensively it's not that hard. It's just about keeping your eyes on your luggage.
Kerry, do you hear the announcement? Like that was one of the things where, you know, Brad Allen announces that number 70 is eligible, and you can hear it as the Lions are in the huddle. But as a player, are you hearing those announcements? Are you waiting for him to come over and say something, or is that just not even a part of what you're worried about?
Yeah, you're looking at it, right? And so obviously, if it's a trick play, it may have caught them off guard as far as when it was or who it is. But before the game, coaches have to, you know, they talk to the referees. They tell them that they're going to have these things. And so, you know, our coaches and our people would be abreast of that and know that there's an opportunity for that to happen. Now, you know, the likelihood of it happening, you never know. But we're always kind of aware that those things can happen in the game. And so, and we talk about that stuff during the game if you're well-versed and well-coached. So they should have had some inkling of it. You know, in the heat of battle, sometimes obviously you'll see certain formations that they come in with personnel wise, and you're expecting certain things out of those formations. But yeah, I mean, you're aware, and sometimes in the game you're tired, you're not thinking, and you're lost, and you're worried about something else, so you forget that through playing and playing a long game like they played. But they should have known.
Kerry Rhodes joining us, of course, former defensive back, Jets, Cardinals. He's a Fox Sports Radio contributor. You can hear him on Fox Sports Radio on the weekends, along with Dan Byram, Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. What do you think would happen with Denver with the benching of Russell Wilson?
Oh, Doug, don't do that to me. I, you know what? I was so upset, man. I was upset when that happened because, obviously, just hearing the news of him going to the bench at that time, it felt like a cop-out for me with Sean Payton. But then, you know, obviously you hear the later information and it being more financial, then it makes me even more mad because it's not about how he's playing. It's not about your team. It's not about even your players at that point, right? It's about the organization and the money. And if you don't want to pay these guys and you want to cure that, then you'd be better with your evaluation and what you want to do with your team. So I put a lot of the blame and a lot of my quote-unquote anger towards the Broncos organization and Sean Payton for putting Russell through that and putting the team through that. Because when you do your star quarterback like that, that shows every player that there's no real allegiance to them as well. And so it's not a good situation for them.
Hold on. I'll push back on that a little bit. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, he didn't the trade wasn't made when he was there. He has no ownership of Russell Wilson. And, I mean, do you think Russell Wilson is worth, you know, $60 million next year or whatever it is, $65 million next year? I mean, I understand how it may feel, but the reality is Russell Wilson's not nearly as good as his contract. This is an opportunity to get out of that contract for half of what it's written for because of the injury clause, and they're out of the playoffs, so you pull the plug when he's out of the playoffs.
Yeah, no question. But they were talking about doing that early on in the season. They're talking about doing it during Kansas City when they were starting their 5-game win streak, right? So they're winning, and you know, obviously the conversations have been had, but they didn't bench him. They're really worried about the money and him being hurt and not making the playoffs and not worried about any of that, and they were going to hop off the contract. Then do it early.
Well, I think they were going to do it early. Then they started winning games. They're like, well, let's just wait until we're out of the playoff thing. Now you're out of the playoff thing, and you do it like this. It's just. It looks bad. Here's what I don't buy. I don't buy that free agents, well, we're not going to go there because of Russ was like, no, you're not going to go there because if you can make more money there than anywhere else, that's where you're going to go. And if it's a system that, or if it's a system that, you know, the DC, Van, or you've played for Sean before, like, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring in as many of his guys who played for him before. That's what people do. I don't think it affects him long term. Do you?
I do. If I had an opportunity to make similar money, same money, to go to any other team besides Denver, I'd do that. I wouldn't go to Peyton. I wouldn't trust the organization. Now, I mean, obviously, if they're paying more for you and it's significantly better, then yeah, I mean, sure, some guys are going to do that. But if it's close and teams are pretty similar in what they're offering certain players, I promise you they'll go somewhere else. Yeah, I understand the totality of it when you talk about being out of the playoffs and then the money situation on top of it, for sure. That's what I mean. Because before, hearing the money aspect of it, I was just like, wow, that's bad business. And then you hear it, then you're like, oh, okay, that's good business. But the optics, the eye test doesn't look good because, you know, you kind of wrote it out. Even though the money situation was looming, the fact that they were still in the playoff hunt, they still kept putting them out there. So, you know, it was just a little disconnect there.
All right, Kerry, the Bears have the first overall pick because the Panthers have the worst record. Bears fans yesterday chanting, we want Fields, in keeping Justin Fields as their quarterback. Bears are on the clock right now. At this point, what do you do if you're Chicago with that number one overall pick and your current quarterback situation with Justin Fields?
If I'm Chicago, I'm definitely testing the waters to see if there's any takers for Fields where they can get a significant return. If they can get a significant return for him, which I hear there are some teams that are in play with him and, you know, and are impressed with what he did down the stretch here. So if they can get that and package some stuff to get some players that they need and also get Caleb Williams, you definitely do that. If you can't, Justin Fields can play football. And I think we've seen that down the stretch here, and I think he's gotten – really, really confident, and I think his team has actually, you know, started to hop on with him and let him lead. So it's an interesting thing. I think they can do both, but I'm sure they're definitely exploring the trade market to see what the value is and see what they can get back in return. But me personally, I think you have to go at Caleb Williams, but I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Well, it's not just Caleb Williams. It's Caleb Williams and restarting your quarterbacks on a rookie deal, right? Yeah. So it gives you the year 2, 3, and 4 where he's not making much of anything. And so then you can build your roster. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have a second high first-round pick that you could trade for more value if in terms of other value, right? I mean, there's a dollars and cents to it more than just the, hey, Justin Fields might be starting to turn the corner.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And that's the thing, right? Like, if you can get back a significant return with that, which, like I said, the way he played, he can play, and you can get off that contract and get Caleb Williams in, then it just makes more sense.
Kerry Rhodes, listen to him on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, he's a longtime defensive back in the National Football League. Kerry, you're the best, man. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Man, thank you, guys.
With Dan Byer, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show. In for Dan, the Danettes on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.